Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 9, day 2 of our study of Luke. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Luke 21, 20 through 38. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. If you're enjoying this podcast, but you'd like a more in-person study, then check out the 10-week Bible YouTube channel. The same podcasts are over there with Bible texts, maps, and with other helpful videos. Links are in the description and the show notes. With that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Luke 21, starting in verse 20. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful will it be for in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. I want to pause right there and speak to this. Jesus is continuing on from what we talked about yesterday at the beginning of the chapter. He's speaking of the end times. The disciples asked him about the temple and said, isn't this thing awesome? And he's like, listen, not one stone's going to be left on another. He was speaking about 70 AD. And then they ask, well, what is going to be the sign of this coming second, you know, the end times? What is going to be the sign of all of these apocalyptic events that you're talking about, Jesus? And Jesus specifically originally was not talking about the end times, but that was the question that they asked. And so Jesus gives them a little bit of both. And I mentioned something called preterism yesterday. And I generally try and tell you when I have an opinion, when I have a theological position on something, because it's impossible to hide our own biases and things like that. So when it comes to the end times, there's several different ways to look at things. And I don't believe in preterism. I don't believe that the Bible text has any evidence that would suggest preterism. Because yes, some of the things that Jesus is talking about here did happen in the past. And again, preterism is when you believe that all of the end times things, from all the things that Jesus talks about to the book of Revelation, they've already happened. They describe events in the past for us. They might not have been events for the past when Jesus was saying them, but for us, they're all events in the past. And to be clear, some of them are events in the past. Like when Jesus was talking about one stone not being left on another, that actually happened in 70 AD. But when he goes on from there, starting in chapter 21, he starts speaking about the end times. And very clearly, he's talking about the end times. Right. So now he initially talked about, you know, Jerusalem being surrounded, and now he's talking about Jerusalem being surrounded again. This is the second time in the same passage that he's talking about here, where he's speaking of Jerusalem being surrounded. And now he's talking about the desolation of Jerusalem. And he's talking about how nothing like this will have ever happened. Now, to be clear, the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD, it was really bad. But I don't know that I would say that it was any worse than other sieges that had happened in human history, even to Jerusalem. Jerusalem had been under siege in times past where there were things like cannibalism and things like that were going on. So there had been things that were really bad in the past, even in Jerusalem, let alone any other city. And so when Jesus is giving us a superlative, like nothing like this will have ever happened, there'll be great distress and wrath against this people. And then he talks about, you know, it will be trampled until the time of the Gentiles is over. Jesus is telling us there's going to be this destruction of the temple, and the Gentiles will overrun Jerusalem until their time is over. And right now, the Gentiles are still overrunning the Temple Mount. The Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque right now sit on top of the Temple Mount. And so this time of the Gentiles, which I am one of, and so are the Muslims who currently occupy the Temple Mount, we are still in this time of the Gentiles. So to be clear, I don't believe in preterism. And again, if you do, that is okay with me as long as you love the Lord and your heart is to know his word more. I want you in love and engaged with God's word. But to be clear, I do not believe in preterism. I think that it is a misapplication of these prophetic scriptures. I think it's hunting to try and make things fit. And anytime we do that, anytime it, to me, it's no different than kind of the modern, you know, guys that sit in front of the camera, I guess like I'm doing here, except they're trying to say, well, this current event is this thing and this and all these pieces kind of come together and fit together. And they're like the smart guy or girl who can figure all of this stuff out and tell you how all of the current events in our world translate to these biblical prophecies. And again, Jesus was very clear. He says, when you hear people do that, that ain't it, because this will be so clear. So clear. No one is going to be going to some smart guru to try and figure these things out. It will be that obvious. That's what Jesus is saying. And so we have got this time of the Gentiles, which I believe we are under right now. We are still under that time in all of these, not all of these events. I mean, the destruction of the temple in 70 AD has already happened, but all of the other things that Jesus is talking about when he's referring to the end times, they are yet to come. Let's continue on verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. In Matthew, he gives us a little bit more detailed account of this, where Jesus says, the heavenly bodies will cease to give their light. They will fall from the heaven and you will not see them anymore. Then he says, when this happens, don't be afraid. Like that, when all of these things happen, that is when I am soon to come. This is crazy. I mean, what Jesus is talking about here, he's going to be this, there's going to be signs, right, in the sun, moon, and stars. And signs, what he's talking about is there's going to be things that no man can control that are going to have meaning in the sun, moon, and the stars. They will have supernatural meaning that God has ascribed to them, but they're things that are outside of the control of man. That is what a sign is. And Jesus is saying those things will come. And so it is important for us to understand the difference. This is a very important distinction, to understand the difference between astrology and signs in the stars and the heavens. Astrology is where we say where we're taking, and the difference can feel slight or even nuanced, but the difference is there's, you know, the gods, the spirits are trying to speak to you through the stars and control your life with that. No. Signs in the heavens, they are what a true prophet of God, when a messenger from the Lord, when the Lord anoints a prophet of the Lord and says, like, I want you to go and give this message. I will give you this sign to back up what you're saying. That is what the Lord is speaking of here. So signs are not things that dictate the direction of our life. They don't have meaning for our life. They give us something to see. A prophet will come along. So for instance, when Joshua says, we're going to walk across the Jordan River when our feet touch it, that is a sign, because he can't make that happen. But he told them ahead of time and they did it and it happened. That is a sign, right? The parting of the Jordan River, of the Red Sea, and these kinds of things, they don't control our lives. It's not like we're living based on that, like astrology, where the stars and things like that, they're controlling us and they're dictating our lives. No, this is something where we know that the Lord has sent a person, because when they say these things will happen, they happen, and we know that they cannot control it. No one can control whatever these signs are going to be in the sun, moon, and stars. And so that's what we're talking about here. That is the difference. And he says, those things are yet to come. He says, you know, that the people are going to faint from terror. Everyone on the earth is going to be filled with anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. again, I mean, you could say, well, you know, that's global warming and that's what we're seeing right now. And, you know, there are certainly a lot of people who are perplexed and in anguish over what the sea is doing, but I don't know that I would call it the roaring and tossing of the sea. I don't think we've seen this. And he says, like everybody on earth, you know, nations, like there will be so many people in anguish over the roaring and tossing of the sea. That doesn't sound like rising sea levels to me. Maybe it can be, but this is something beyond what we've experienced. This is something, what I like to say, other than our normal experience in life. This is not even the normal storms and earthquakes and things like that. I don't believe that's what we're talking about. We're talking about something so global in its application and so perplexing, so fearful that the whole world is taking note and afraid. And Jesus says, don't you be afraid. He says, when you see all of this, right, the rest of the world will be in fear and terror. But when you see it, you lift up your head. You lift up your head because your redemption is near. This is such a powerful thing because we don't serve a Lord, a God who came just to forgive our sins. Even that is more than what we deserve. All Jesus was this man who came and died on the cross to remove our sins. That's more than what we deserve. He rose from the dead as well to give us eternal life in his presence. That's so much more than we deserve. But it goes beyond that. He's coming back. There's a time of trouble that's going to come on the earth. And it's going to be so terrible for planet Earth. And the oppression against, specifically against God's people, is going to be so bad. And we see in the book of Revelation that the people on earth will cry out, and the people who've been martyred, even the ones in the presence of God himself, will still be crying out, how long until you give us justice? How long until you avenge our blood? It's going to be so bad on earth before all of this even begins. Jesus is saying, when these things happen and the rest of the world is in terror, that's when you should be excited because your redemption is close at hand. Verse 29, he told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. So Jesus is saying, when all of these things begin to happen, you know that that is when the kingdom of God is coming to earth in its fullness. In its fullness. Verse 32. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Many people have looked at this, and this is a difficult passage the way Jesus says this. It said, well, Jesus is speaking to this generation that he's talking to here, so that's why preterism, that's why we know that all of these things have already happened and all of these end time stuff, they already happened, and we have to apply them to the first century Christians and church and world. And because Jesus says, truly, I tell you, this generation. And the problem is there is an assumption in that. And Jesus is sneaky like this at times in the way that he says things. Was Jesus saying this generation, the one that he's looking at? Or is he saying this generation as in the generation in the future that will see all of these things? Because either he's saying this generation that I'm speaking to now in 30 AD, 33 AD, this generation will not pass away until they see all of these things. Or he's saying that there is a future generation and all of these things will take place within one generation. All of these fearful things, all of this stuff will happen in that one generation. So there are two ways to look at this. There are probably more than two ways to look at this. And actually, I know that there are many more than two ways to look at this, but I think those are the two main ways. And that is where people in the preterist camp and then all other end times theological camps look at this, is this Jesus is not just being about this generation that he's speaking to. He's speaking about a future generation yet to come. Verse 34. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. This is an amazing thing that Jesus says here, right? There is a large swath of people that say, well, don't worry about the end times because no one agrees on it. And it's just, it's too difficult to understand. And so don't read that. Read about Jesus' love. Read about Jesus' grace. Read stories in the Old Testament, but don't read about the end times because it's too difficult to understand and nobody gets it. Everyone just fights over it. And here Jesus says just the opposite. The very first passage in the book of Revelation says, you are blessed for reading this book, the book of Revelation. And Jesus says, you should, all of these things that I'm talking about, you should always be on the watch for them, paying attention, thinking about it, looking, right? When I speak somewhat derogatorily about the guys that sit in front of the camera and say, well, this event is this, and this event is this, and this event is this, I don't want to say that you shouldn't do that, that you shouldn't be looking to current events and say, well, is this that? What I'm saying is if there's like the one guy or the five guys who make their money off the books and their television program and things like that, and nobody else can see it, then that ain't it. That is most definitely not it. But the act of looking at the things that are going on in our time, in our generation, Jesus actually tells us you have to do that. You have to be on watch for that. And one of the things that, even if we disagree on the end times, even if there is tension and fighting, one of the things that thinking about the end times every day, thinking about the return of Jesus every day does for us is it reminds us that there is actually an eternity to be had. And if you're a long-time listener to this podcast, you've heard me talk about this before. There's the saying that, you know, well, there's of so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you are so heavenly minded, if you are constantly thinking about eternity, you will be of the most earthly good because you will consider what is coming and it will change how you live now. It will absolutely change how you live now. You will live today in light of eternity. There is nothing that you can do that's more valuable than to be so heavenly minded. And that's what Jesus is saying. Think about this. Think about these end times, because what's on the other side of it is so important that you should be on the watch. You should be ready so that you are not weighed down with the cares of the world, so you don't get sucked into the lusts of the flesh in this age, because they will dull you. They will dull your mind and your spirit so that you will not be ready. You will not see what's coming. Verse 37. Each day Jesus was teaching in the temple, and each evening he went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came in early in the morning to hear him at the temple. So I have just a little map here that I found that shows that, for those of you watching the YouTube channel, you're seeing the map, and it's got the relationship between ancient Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives, and then Bethany and Bethpage, where Jesus was going. And you can see the Mount of Olives in relation to the temple and the rest of the city of Jerusalem. Of course, it's all very different now. Mount of Olives is a graveyard now. And if you're listening to this, I will have these on the website so that you can see these maps as well. But Jesus is not staying in the city of Jerusalem at night. He's going out to the Mount of Olives and going out to Bethany and Bethpage each night as he's doing this. But people are actually showing up early in the morning, knowing Jesus is going to be there. They're showing up early in the morning in the temple just to hear him speak. This is just an absolutely powerful time. Jesus is cramming in a lot of stuff here right at the end. And we need to pay attention to these things that he's saying in these chapters. for the 10-week Bible study. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.